Thanks, Rob. It's a download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you tonight till 8:30. Quick show tonight. The Blackhawks are playing the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. So we got a good show lined up tonight. Quickly to talk, of course, about Chicago news, but also to talk with our crew that is out in Las Vegas. And like I said, we have an hour or so till Chris Bowden and the pregame show takes over. But we go out to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, the Steve Cochran Show, out there with some lucky listeners. And Steve Cochran and Andre Darlis join us for the pre-pregame just now.
The pre-pregame.
The pre-pregame.
The run-it up to pregame game.
Steve, Andre, good to have you here.
Thanks, Justin.
This is a nice career break for us being on Justin's show.
I think so, yeah, in Vegas.
There's plenty of hockey to talk about and whatever funk this team is in. Obviously and sadly, the biggest news is what you've been talking about all afternoon. So
yeah, we'll make a transition. We can start with the story today of the police shooting, but we definitely want to talk with you guys about what your trip has been like out in Las Vegas, and of course the broadcast tonight as you get ready to pre-game the Blackhawks against the Knights.
Against the Knights. Now, do you want to run down the details, or is Ryan standing by? Or
he's coming up here. But you know what? We'll go to Rob Martyr, who was covering tonight. As we just said, I mean, today Chicago mourns the loss of a police officer. Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer shot and killed while in pursuit of a suspect near the Thompson Center downtown. Bauer was off duty, but when he heard the call, he pursued and confronted the man. Bauer was shot several times, the shooter in custody. Tonight, a police procession winded through the loop to take Commander Bauer's body to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office on the west side.
The ceremonial
funeral
procession, the pre-funeral procession, the moving of the body, it's just heartbreaking.
Oh, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And everybody who knew Commander Paul Bauer, Justin, I mean, we've been talking about him all day, and you know, many of the outlets, including WGN Radio and WGN TV, knew at the time who it was and waited respectfully for Eddie Johnson to release the details. And everybody who knew him loved him, and he was beloved by his officers and by the department. So, and it's absolutely heartbreaking because this is just a wonderful guy who would come up and thank the officers and thank the sergeants and the lieutenants for doing their job every day.
What was he doing at Thompson today? Do you know?
He wasn't at Thompson. He was actually at City Hall.
Oh, okay.
And he was off duty, but we're told he was in meetings. So off duty, but really always on duty. And when is a police officer ever off duty?
He heard the call on his radio, and he did what cops do, whether they're on duty or off duty.
Right.
Didn't even
think twice about it, and went to the Thompson Center and pursued this suspect. And it resulted in a shootout. Yeah.
The suspect's in custody. Was the suspect wounded?
I don't know, Justin. Was the suspect wounded?
I'm not
wounded?
Sure. I don't think so. I think he was put in custody. I know that he was apprehended because he went down a stairwell at the Thompson Center that was locked and then was stuck at the and pinned down at the bottom of the stairwell. So I'm not sure if he was wounded. Rob Martyr was actually at the hospital today at the Northwestern Hospital with police officers who had gathered. Rob, hearing what Andre just said about police officers and not only them but the community coming together to mourn the loss of Paul Bauer, could you feel that at the hospital?
It was, well, as we like to say, palpable, but I think there was one moment for me that really stuck out as people were trying to get by not only the crush of police officers that were outside the emergency room at Northwestern, but also obviously the media that had assembled outside there as well, was a woman who was just simply trying to get by on the sidewalk, and there was one officer who was kind of off by himself to the side. I happened to be about 5 feet from this particular officer when she asked what is going on. Clearly, she had not heard the news. And the officer said, well, we've just lost one of our own. He died a little while ago. And her reaction was so immediate and so intense, and she started welling up with tears. And here's a woman who clearly has never probably met this officer, never seen this officer, but she knows what the CPD means to this city.
Well, and it's a perfectly appropriate response,
and
right?
And reaction, absolutely.
And the thing that continues to just claw at me is this little 11-year-old girl, his daughter, who I'm sure even at the age of 11 had gotten used to daddy going to work as a cop, but she always expected him to come home. He didn't come home tonight. And though we know, as I mentioned on Roe Show earlier, the police family will take care of the family and this little girl for the rest of her life. She's never going to be the same. a coward with a gun takes a life, and the city feels it tonight. So where we go from here is going to be interesting. I know the mayor spoke earlier.
Nobody's got
anything exceptional they can say here. Everybody's crushed by this. There are no words that can sum it up.
Everybody is, and even being so far away from home tonight, you know, I was in my hotel room watching the press conference and Eddie Johnson and keeping in touch with the folks back there and our police friends. You know, we feel, as Steve said, I just want to echo that they go out every day, the men and women of the Chicago Police and Fire Department and our first responders, and they put their lives on the line for all of us every single day. I mean, you're arguably the busiest building in downtown Chicago after City Hall and that Thompson Center. Public lives are at risk, and he just immediately jumps in and you know,
so many
gave
witnesses,
his own life for all of ours.
Yeah, so many witnesses heard the shots. Bauer becomes the first officer shot and killed on or off duty since 2011. On the line,
I think Ryan's ready.
Ryan is ready. Yep, WGN Radio and ABC News. Ryan, what happened here today? We were just kind of discussing the details as we kind of try to put them all together. But from your vantage point, reporting this story, what happened?
You know, all we've got right now is really witness accounts. The police, obviously, Eddie Johnson didn't give us a ton of information in his about 2-minute-long press conference that he had and didn't take any questions. From what we hear from witnesses, it was kind of a chaotic scene. Essentially, a suspect was being stopped for one reason or another in relation to some kind of crime. Now, witnesses believe that there may have been a robbery across the street at either the Starbucks or the bank that was nearby. And tactical unit, which we know the police confirm, was trying to apprehend or at least talk to this person, attempted to intervene, and this person somehow got away. Now, the path is a little bit chaotic at that point. It sounds as though the person may have crossed Clark and then went down some stairs in front of the Thompson Center. There's a pedway entrance there, although it sounds as though it's locked. So it's possible that suspect got trapped.
Yeah.
At that point, officers were trying to tail him, and we know that Commander Bauer was one of those responding officers. Now, witnesses say that they actually saw another officer open fire kind of down that stairwell. You know, police have not confirmed that, so that does beg a couple questions, and nothing that we've got confirmed. Was the shooting from the suspect, or was it from responding police who maybe did not know the commander was either down there or that he was a police officer?
Yeah, and that investigation won't be finished tonight or tomorrow or maybe even anytime soon.
Right.
Doesn't change the outcome, obviously, but those are questions that have to be asked and answered.
Yeah. A question for you, Ryan. Yeah. I mean, it seems to be a lot of what's coming in on the text line as well is, what do we know about the shooter? I mean, as you said, the police superintendent didn't spend much time. I'm sure we'll find out more tomorrow, but has anything come forward about who this man was in the loop that the tactical unit was pursuing?
No, we don't have any of that information. Like you said, that may be something that they save for the next press conference, maybe tomorrow. Maybe now it's just the time for grieving, and then they'll begin kind of that process of prosecution and really explaining what happened. I'm sure many in the police department are still trying to figure out as well what happened in that situation, who this person was, how did he manage to slip away, what was the reason for the suspicion in this case. None of that information coming out yet from police. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see both of you or all of you in the coming days if this person was a repeat offender, if he had a rap sheet, if he served time in prison.
And where did the gun come from?
Absolutely. You know, we could probably go on a limb and say it was an illegal weapon. But Eddie Johnson just holding a press conference several days ago saying that these are loopholes that need to be closed.
Of course.
That these, you know, if this is a repeat offender, should absolutely not have been out there.
Yeah. Ryan, just quickly.
We don't know, like we said, too, if there was any kind of robbery involved. So there might be images of this person that hopefully will be coming out in the coming days.
As we talked with Rob about Commander Bauer and Andre as well and others, I mean, what did you hear from police officers and others today about Commander Bauer, his service to Chicago, and what kind of officer he was?
You know, we weren't getting a lot of discussion from police, but you could see it on their faces. I mean,
One of Andrea's best friends is a cop.
Right.
So what did she say when you talked to her?
What we have, Ryan, is that, and I interviewed him actually during a protest. It was last summer. And just a professional, wonderful guy. talk to the media about different things. Actually, it was very close with a reporter at WGN-TV as well when he was commander of the Mounted Police down at South Shore Cultural Club, Cultural Center, I should say. Just beloved. Just a great, great officer who rose through the ranks, serving, of course, as sergeant, lieutenant, captain, commander, beloved by all, and just always very, very good to the men and women of the department.
And he just rose to that new leadership position near the
somewhat
top of the
recently,
CPD,
yes.
Fairly recently.
Right? Yes, yeah. Yeah, it was captain and commander.
We saw Gary McCarthy chime in with a statement as well. He said that he worked side by side with Commander Bauer during the NATO summit and the demonstrations that went on there. So. Obviously, he was very well aware of him and had a very close relationship with him as well, outside of Eddie Johnson, but even the administration before.
Well, more to come on this story, of course. I mean, this is
thank you, Ryan.
And thank you, Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio, ABC News. Thanks, Ryan, for checking in.
Justin, I don't know how this works on your show. Do you take a break here?
Yeah, we'll take a break here.
Because that would help with the awkward transition. Obviously, we're in Las Vegas, and we need to talk about the Blackhawks and hockey. Trust me, we get the order of importance.
Yeah.
We hope you understand the fact that WGN is doing the same thing it's done for 80 years, and that's talk about what's going on in your city.
Mm-hmm. Well, big story that WGN News and all the talk shows will continue to cover here in Chicago tonight,
absolutely.
Of course. Chicago
and just
mornings.
Blessings to their family, the entire CPD family, but specifically to his wife and daughter.
Yep, mourns the loss of Commander Paul Bauer, who was 53 years old. He leaves behind his wife and 11-year-old daughter. Steve Cochran, Andre Darlis live from Las Vegas doing the pre-game
tonight. And apparently
tonight.
Meatloaf as well. I don't know if you can hear Meatloaf
can
in,
hear
the
that in the background. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and we will start the pre-game of the Hawks and the Golden Knights from Las Vegas. Stay with us.
Welcome to
It's the pre-game here for the Hawks Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Steve Cochran and Andre Darlis out in the T-Mobile Arena right now, getting ready for the Hawks game. This was a long awaited trip for you guys to be out in Vegas right now. You brought some listeners with you. How's the trip been? You got there yesterday, right?
Yeah, and we're having a good time. I've never heard the Star-Spangled Banner rehearsed.
No, I know.
Wow.
I hope he doesn't
Steve,
cut it
stop
short.
Stop singing, Steve.
I was going to say.
I feel like we should shut up.
Yeah, right? Do you have to on the practice? Here, maybe I'll. Geez, that's so weird.
Vibe. Stand up.
Put your hand on your heart.
Sorry, I'm standing.
This is against my grain to talk while this is happening.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll just let it play.
Honestly,
rehearsal of the Star-Spangled Banner in T-Mobile Arena.
Not Jim Cornelison,
no,
but not bad.
But pretty good.
Not bad.
You're absolutely right. I did not know they rehearsed that song.
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but anyway.
So tell us where you're at right now. You're at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, right on Las Vegas Boulevard. Talk about what
this T-Mobile building, I mean, this is beautiful, and it's new. It's got that new hockey smell.
Great building. Yeah, we're right in front of the old Monte Carlo and right behind New York, New York.
Yeah.
If that gives you an idea.
Aria's nearby.
Aria.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of tears from people who've lost money, but I stopped crying about an hour ago.
I was going to say, including me.
The thing we talked about before the show, Justin, is this logo for the Vegas Golden Knights is very cool, but it's not the Indian head. And this is the Chicago contingent. Even in the middle of this miserable streak and this really disappointing season, we saw tons of Blackhawks gear in all the casinos, on the street, in the airports.
Oh, my God. So we had breakfast, and I said to Steve, I'm going to go out and interview a few. I'm going to try and find a few Blackhawks fans on this trip. The second we stepped in front of Bellagio, it was like Michigan Avenue.
Right.
It was Blackhawks Central here today.
Right?
Oh, yeah. We talked to some great fans.
And I didn't see any Golden Knights logos.
No, I didn't either.
So
they were ignoring us.
So they're well represented here. Of course, Justin, the confusion here is who are these guys and what have they done with the actual Blackhawks team? Because the last six games have been really, really hard to watch, last night in particular. And it would be against the grain to go from the worst team in the NHL to the best team in the NHL and suddenly score a bunch of goals and win tonight.
Yeah.
But, hey, why not? Why not now?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I mean, I love that John McDonough had said at one point that it's a playoff game from here on out, and that's just the way it's going to be if you're at the point where you're in last place in the division.
Well, just
right
we've
now,
never been here. We've right? never been right. in this position. That's why it feels so weird.
Right.
Everybody goes through bad stretches, but this bad stretch, outside of the few games at the beginning of the season, has basically been going on since Nashville swept last spring.
You know what, though? Justin and Steve, I think because we're in Vegas, we got a bunch of listeners here. I mean, it was a sea of red along the strip today. I think this could be a lucky turnaround.
Well, there you go. That's what we like to hear.
It wasn't for me on video poker, so why not on the ice?
Or me and Jim on craps today at Paris. It was
might
terrible.
As well happen.
All right, so let me ask you guys, what do you guys, you have listeners there, you have a couple of people we're going to be meeting coming up here in the next hour before the show starts. We got some
we're
going to
renew the vows of a couple of fine people.
Yes.
Who are here.
Okay, that's a good place. That's a good place to start.
And it was good. We got them all primed up for you because Stephanie went shopping with Renata today, and I played craps with Jim. So they're ready to renew their vows.
It sounds like you were the cooler for Jim. Do you know what a cooler is?
I was not the cooler. Somebody else was the cooler, but we're not going to say names, Stephanie. We were rolling, and Stephanie's so cute. She came up and said, "Yeah, how y'all doing? Are you guys winning?"
Oh, it's so cute.
And
how
then
we
roll a seven, and another seven, then a three.
I'll tell you how bad it's going. I went to the ATM machine, and the ATM machine said, "Steve, haven't you had enough?"
Tell them how much the convenience fee was.
$9.99
to use the ATM.
What? Yeah, to use the ATM here, it's $9.99.
Oh my gosh! I remember when it was $3, and I was like, "That's it. I'm done with this town. I'm done with Vegas."
$9.99.
We also walked past Rick Hogan's favorite bar in Caesar's Palace, the one with the boat.
I thought Rick Hogan's favorite bar was all of them.
Well, this was his tip-top favorite.
Right, okay.
His tip-top, his out of
all of them.
Favorite,
his out of Chicago favorite,
All right, Steve Cochran, Andrea Darlis at the T-Mobile Arena getting ready for the Vegas Knights Blackhawks game tonight. We'll take a break. We'll get the news with Rob Martyr.
We'll meet a couple of listeners when you come back.
And we'll meet a couple of listeners. We love it. The pre-game here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Come and play. There's no place you'd rather be.
Thanks, Rob. It is the pre-game here on 720 WGN as the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Golden Knights of Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena out on the Las Vegas Strip, right where the, what'd you say, Andre, right between the where the Monte Carlo and the New York, New York.
Yeah, Monte Carlo and New York, New York. They're kind of, I don't know if they're
going to tear. Aria's right by as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to tear down the Monte Carlo or they're just remodeling it.
Yeah, they shouldn't
it's
do it tonight.
It's hard to tell, but it's right in that little back area. It's a cool view.
Steve Cochran and Andrea Darlis with us tonight.
This is where John and Troy, this is beautiful, obviously. It's a new building, but this is John and Troy's booth, and Sandberg is threatening to lead them in pregame yoga. So it could get a little weird here shortly.
And he's not kidding.
It is. It's a long trip. I can understand when you start getting on the road like this. You got a game in Arizona, then in Las Vegas. I can understand. You need to stretch out. You need to keep healthy.
A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from Jim Travnik, who's fine listener. And Jim said, "Hey, we're going to be in Vegas anyway. We got tickets to the game. I don't need anything from you, Steve. But Mr. Big Shot Internet Minister, what would you think about renewing our vows?"
Perfect timing.
And I said, "Jim, yours and mine?" No.
And then it was funny how he told his wife about it as well.
I don't know the story.
He said, well, I'll let him tell the story too, but basically he said, "Hey, I have an idea, and you can't say no."
Yeah, there you go. But let me say hi to them, and Justin, jump in here as you will. It's Renette.
Right.
And Jim Travnik. Renette, do you prefer Renette or Renee?
Oh, Renette is good.
Renette, you know,
I've called her a lot worse.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is my wife Maureen has been Renee her whole life, and I've never met another Renee.
But I bet you never met another Renette either.
No, that's a new name. That's new. Is it short for something?
Nope.
Come on, your parents named you Marionette, and you didn't want to keep the whole thing.
No, that would be bad.
There's five girls in the family, and all have the initials RRB.
Is that right?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Sounds like a money laundering operation. So
maybe Justin, I should have been playing craps with you.
So, Justin, these guys are both Chicago guys, but Renette, you're a Minnesota girl?
No, I actually grew up in Chicago. My parents are from Minnesota.
Did you go back and see family there?
My parents live there now, so we go back all the time up there.
Yeah, I spent 5 years up there. Did you know it's very cold?
Well, you know, they live in the southern part of the state, so they pretty much get our weather.
Yeah.
But the up further north, it's very cold.
Well, I was in the Twin Cities for 5 years. I moved here for a break in the weather.
For a break, yeah.
Yeah, here being Chicago. big family? You have five?
We both have.
Jim, how many in yours?
There's a total of six. There's five of us still living.
So how'd you guys meet? Hey, Mr. Romance, why don't you tell the story? How'd you meet?
We worked at Palermo's Pizza on 63rd, one of the greatest pizza places around.
Oh, represent Palermo's Pizza, Southside.
And you were both 16 at the time?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And did he have any game at 16? How did he hit
No,
him?
Not at all.
She hated me.
Think about that for a second. Okay.
Did you think he's a dork, or did you find him a little cute?
No, he was in charge. He was a manager, and so he was very bossy and not very
Mr.
nice, and
Big
he hasn't
Shot.
Changed that much.
Mr. Big Shot. And Jim, you work where?
I work at Ray Buick, right across the street from Midway Airport.
Been there forever?
25 years.
Garfield Ridge.
And what do you do there?
Sell cars and manage.
Run the joint?
No. The family does.
They're great Southsiders. They went. Who went to Shepherd?
I didn't.
You went to Shepherd, the Palermo's Pizza.
Right.
Knows Lizzie Coghill, our friend.
And Jim, where'd you go?
Silver Lake.
Brother Rice at the old Czech school.
Yeah.
Oh, you tell me, but Southside, don't you have to ask what parish?
Yeah,
correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
Saint
what would
Nick's.
It be?
St. Nick's.
St. Nick's?
Yes.
Well, there's so many places that could go.
That sounds like a great church.
So you've known each other since you were 16. How old were you when you got married?
22.
So at that point, did you say, listen, pal, 5 years, I'm not waiting forever? Or how did that go?
Yeah, how did he ask
No, we actually didn't start dating for a very long time. Maybe we were like 4 or 5 years later before we ever started dating.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how long did you date before you got married?
Not long, I don't think.
3 or 4 years.
So by then you decided this guy will never stop pestering
right.
me.
Right. May as well give it.
How did he ask you? What was the big proposal?
I asked you a year before.
And you said no?
No, no. You know, actually one time he said, if we're still going out next year, do you want to get married?
Oh, it's a little romantic.
Oh, sweet.
Like, if we're still together.
And you guys live in New Lenox?
Right.
And what's your job?
I work for a quilt store, Robert Sewing Center.
Very cool.
Well, that's great. So like a family deal?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, those are going away.
Right.
So let's get a plug in. Support the store. Where is it?
It's in Crest Hill.
And what is it called
right outside
again?
Joliet. Robert Sewing Center.
You know, it's the official quilting store of the Steve Cochran Show.
I love it. I spent a lot of time in Will County. So
you know,
I love
if you go
area.
There, Steve, you go inside, and all these ladies that work there, they have quilts all lined up, hanging up there, and they're just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's got to be cool.
It's the biggest quilt store in Illinois, I believe.
They're artists.
That's cool.
Yes. Yeah, they really are.
The story.
Tell me about your kids. How many?
Three.
Well, you look at each other like you don't know.
I didn't have a little bit of time there.
You know he likes to do all the talking. I don't want to interfere.
But Renette, I'm assuming you were there for all three.
I was there, yeah.
We have three, Jim, Matt, and Allison.
And Allison is married to a cop, right?
Matt's a police officer, Mark Hammond.
And do we like Matt?
Oh, sweetheart.
You love him? That's great.
Yeah, he's my favorite son-in-law.
That's good.
Wow.
Easy list to get on. What do the kids do for a living and for a life?
Jimmy works for Northern Trust Bank over on Canal.
We don't really know exactly what he does there.
Yeah.
Well, we discussed this money laundering.
Money laundering. Yeah.
Matt
like
works
with him.
Matt works for Arsenal Middle down in this loop. And Allison's occupational therapist out in Mokina.
Very proud.
Yes. Very proud of them.
And you guys look great for old people.
It's radio.
We're just this much older than you, Steve. I heard you say how old you were.
Yeah. 56. 56, but I play older.
So, Steve, let me just jump in. What are you going to do here? Are you doing this now? Are you going to renew vows now? I had no idea you had the ability to do this.
Oh, yes. An internet-ordained minister. Here's the deal.
Wait, you should preface this. A successful one.
Yes.
Because nine out of ten. Yeah.
Nine for
still
ten.
Still married.
I've done a couple of vow renewals before as well. A couple on the air.
Yes, you have.
But the reason I got ordained online was a buddy of mine was getting married for the third time.
And he didn't learn it after the first two.
Yes, and I was the best man in his second wedding. And his wife-to-be in his third wedding said, you're bad luck. You're not going to be the best man. But she didn't see the part where he could ask me to do the wedding. So I got ordained online, and then everybody started asking. So I'd done family weddings. And
You were in the Pride Parade. You did a bunch of weddings.
Did weddings in the Pride Parade. And, you know, and I've done weddings in, I believe, six states now.
And again, 9 for 10 is a great record.
9 for 10 is good. And by the way, the one that didn't last was the guy that was married twice. He's now been divorced three times.
Is he the one who said, I might be getting married again, and you said, don't call me?
Yeah, I said, don't call me. Yeah. I said, lose the number.
Right.
Yeah, because you know the rule, Justin?
What's the rule?
You know the rule. Everybody can have one divorce. Two, you got to start looking at yourself hard. Three, it's definitely you.
Oh, I thought three would be it's their fault. Like it goes the other way.
No, it's
everybody else.
It's absolutely you. So I know you got a break coming up, but after the break, we're just going to do a very quick vow renewal
and
shower them with gifts.
I am so excited about this. We have a vow renewal on the air tonight from Las Vegas. Of course, the Blackhawks are playing the Golden Knights tonight. Steve Cochran and Andre Darlis are there, and they are giving us the pregame here on 720 WG. Again, we'll take a quick break, we'll come back, and we'll renew some vows. Sounds good. It's the pregame here on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran, Andre Darlis join us from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas right now, where they are with Jim and Renette, who are ready for a vow renewal.
Troy Murray just walked
Troy
in.
Murray.
Man, is he handsome.
Yes. Woo-hoo. He's always,
He is better looking, and every time I see him, it couldn't annoy me more.
You know, he has more hair than you do, Steve.
I don't know. We could go on a follicle count. I saw him at the meeting.
Close. It's close, Justin.
It's close. All right. So you guys are out in the where are you at? Are you in the play-by-play booth?
We are in the WGN broadcast
booth. We're in Troy's
booth. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Wow. So
yeah.
Troy was not necessarily coming by to say hi. He was coming by to say get out.
He's coming to work. Yeah,
he's coming to kick us out.
I was like, did not know this was happening. All right.
No, they're well aware, and they couldn't be more thrilled. All right, so Justin, we need to make Justin what?
Yes.
Ring bearer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can do ring bearer.
Yeah,
can I do the speech afterwards? Like, can I do a best man speech?
Like the toast?
Pretty good at
the best man toast.
I'm not good at speeches.
You've known these guys for 8 minutes. So feel like you can do. And are you flower girl or are you maid of honor?
I'll be what do you want me to be? Maid of honor? Stephanie could be flower girl because she was going to look for flowers.
All right, so you're maid of honor.
I'll be the usher that parks cars.
Yeah.
Right, it never gets to come in and eat.
Exactly.
So normally we don't do this in an interactive way, but we're going to do a little interactive thing here as we go through it because I want to ask you about when you were married the first time. So do you remember what it was like? Were you nervous in the back of the church?
Not really. I mean...
How old were you, 24?
22.
Here, you better write this down.
Renette, no problem. You said yes to the dress right away?
Oh, yeah.
Where were you guys married?
At St. Nick's.
Okay.
In Chicago, 62nd and Lawndale.
And the big wedding?
Pretty big, yeah.
About 200.
That's big.
Family was there?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so who do you want to say hi to that's listening right now?
Mom, I hope you remember to turn the radio on.
Right, and?
All of our families are listening.
Yes. Well, that's very nice. What did you have for music? Do you remember what kind of music you had at the wedding?
No.
Oh, no?
Not at all.
Standard? Did you have Dad walk you down the aisle?
Oh, yeah. Okay. My dad walked me down the aisle. I cried the whole way. The whole ceremony. There was
I bet that made you feel good. Yeah. Look at her crying. She can't figure out how to run in these heels.
Right? Did you cry, too?
No.
Okay.
No.
As far as the vows go, did you write your own vows back then?
No.
Just went standard stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We went through some of your bio. We talked about you guys a little bit, so let's jump to that. I'm just going to make it easy. I'll ask you to repeat after me. And usually it goes ladies first, then men, or mun. So we'll go that route. So do you, Renette, promise to continue to love, cherish, to pick up his dirty laundry, to try not to talk when he's talking because he's the guy that won't shut up, to make sure the family is healthy and happy, and to make sure the guy you've loved for all these years will continue. Look at, he's kissing her already. Will continue to be the love of your life. All you have to say, if you agree, is I do.
I do.
All right, that's half the battle.
And Jim,
crying already.
Do you promise to continue to understand how over your skis you've been since the minute you met this beautiful lady, to be thankful every day for all the joy she brings to your life and for the three beautiful kids you have together? Look her in the eyes and say, I do.
I do.
Now, normally we'd have an exchange of wedding rings and gifts.
Yes, we're doing it virtually, Justin. You're handing the fake ring.
It's in one of these pockets.
The fake rings.
Yeah, I can't. I brought my ring with me, but it won't fit after three kids. That kid.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
I totally understand.
He still has the baby weight.
And Sandberg is, you're going to be excited about this. Sandberg has guaranteed me that as far as wedding gifts go, you get to have anything you want from the Steve Cochran Show prize list.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And you know what we will do? We'll have you at a Hawks game when we get back as well.
Absolutely. That would be great.
We're going next Wednesday.
No, well, that's not the one
you're
going to
get tickets
for.
How about next Wednesday?
Oh, no, we already have games. We already have
games. I know.
We want another game.
Yeah, you got it.
So because I'm not Catholic, I can't actually do a Catholic blessing, but I can give you my own non-denominational blessing because I'm in church every Sunday.
Well, I'm Catholic. She's Lutheran.
Oh, good. Well, you're one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on the outside looking in.
We're
only partially welcome.
Right.
Yes.
Only half.
I understand. Well, what brought you together and has kept you together will serve you well for the rest of the days of your life. And I know how fast it's probably gone, and it gets faster. I know that because I'm right on your tail every single day. But you guys are lovely people, and I couldn't be more thrilled that you wanted to do this. So, by the power vested in me, by the internet, by the fine people of the Las Vegas Golden Knights who let us be here, and, of course, by the Chicago Blackhawks. Andrea, do you agree?
I absolutely
We couldn't
do
be more
agree.
Thrilled
we
to
are...
re-pronounce you man yes. and wife. Kiss the bride. Kiss the bride.
All right.
That was so sweet, Steve.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Every single word. Now, they're going to do a dollar dance now
oh,
to
yeah.
make a little money that they can spend at the casinos.
I love it. Yeah.
Justin, are you a fan of the dollar dance tradition?
I am. Who isn't? Who isn't, right?
Right. And yeah. if not the dollar dance, you know, the three songs that always make white people come out on the dance floor.
Old-time
rock
and
roll.
Brown Eyed Girl.
Brown Eyed Girl is one as well.
And the one, you know, you make me want to shout.
Shout and celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But you guys are great. You can come around anytime.
Thank
so,
you.
So, again, Sandberg,
Thank
since
you very
I'll
much.
Forget, we'll get him hockey tickets and a pizza.
So. Palermo's or Lou Malnati's?
We're going to have to go Lou Malnati's. But I'm like you. I love Palermo's as well. And the other thing we'll do is we'll make sure you get a copy of this that you can play with your, you know, play for your friends.
Oh, yeah. thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Really,
congratulations.
You
thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You're a lucky guy, my friend.
I am. You're a very lucky guy.
After spending the afternoon with these two, we had an absolute blast. They are a perfect couple.
They really are great.
Great chopper, mediocre craps player, and you guys have a long, wonderful, continued happy life.
It's no wonder you're so happy together. Yeah. All right.
Who said we're happy?
How many... we're already at the reception.
Uh-oh.
We're already at the reception, and somebody's had
over.
A cocktail. By the way, how many years have you been married?
35.
35 so far.
35, oh. Justin. Do you know, I remember when we were getting married, we told my mom the day, my parents the day, and my mom was like, oh, no, it's going to be so cold, so cold. It was 50 and sunny.
Oh, is that right?
Like yes. it was today.
Well,
yes.
how about that?
Yes.
God said, I'm going to give you a little warmth as well.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't be
Perfect
more happy.
Day.
Congratulations
you.
Again.
Thank
Justin,
you.
This
yeah,
is your first
awesome.
Vowel renewal?
This was. That when you say vowel renewal, it sounds like a medical procedure. but I didn't know.
Well, for some people, it would be.
Yeah, right.
We'll see how long the flight home takes.
But that was wonderful. That was my first one to be in a live, especially in a radio, and being back in Chicago on the radio. It was very sweet. Good job, yeah. Steve Cochran.
You were a great ring bearer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Very much. The virtual
you,
ring bearer.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope a lot of your friends are listening, so we'll
yeah,
find out
hope
soon
so.
Enough.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right, I know you got a break, Justin,
yeah.
and then we'll drag Troy Murray on the fray here. And
there you go.
Amazingly enough, and I think they're going to make it. Our contest winner should be here any second, and they are both Chicago cops.
Yes.
One retired
yes.
and one current, yep. and it's got to be a strange day for them,
yeah,
but they
sure.
wanted to talk about how much fun they've been having as well.
Right.
So we'll get that into before pregame. Here's Justin on
All
his
right,
own show.
All right, that's something that we'll be listening to coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. It's the pregame with Steve Cochran, Andrea Darlis, myself, Justin Kaufman. We are getting ready for the Chris Bowden pregame at 8:30 and the Hawks, actual puck drop at 9 o'clock. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get Rob Martier's news. We'll come back, and we'll continue the show here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky.
Thanks, Rob. It's Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It is the pre-game tonight as the Hawks are in Las Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. Face off 9 o'clock. The pregame with Chris Bowden coming up at 8:30. But before that, as you've been listening to WGN Radio for the last month or so, we've been talking about the big contest that sent Steve Cochran and Andrea Darlis to Las Vegas with lucky listeners. We're checking in with them now. How you guys doing? I can hear they're starting to do the PA announcements in the background. We're getting closer and closer to game time.
Yeah, but nobody's here yet. So I don't know if somebody's on a winning streak, so nobody else is coming in. So
if you were in Vegas, though, Steve, if you were going to see a hockey game,
but
if you were a person who was going to a hockey game who had tickets, not unlike a show like a Britney Spears show, you don't show up until 2 minutes before.
Well, you know what's funny is that's what the rap was on this place when they got a team, and they're going to get the Raiders next year. Is it's just another show? It's Donnie and Marie at the Aladdin. It's the Golden Knights at the T-Mobile.
But there's a whole section in the second level here, and I just asked our producer what that was. It looks like it's medieval times. There's a night show, and they have this whole theatrical.
They got some theater going on here.
Yeah, of the show. I don't know if we're going to see jousting or what, but there's definitely going to be knights some point.
Well,
not on the ice.
Not the Golden Knights.
Not the Golden Knights.
Actual Knights.
Like sirs.
We want to say hi, Justin, to our winners.
Yes.
Who have had a great time. And it's a bizarre coincidence, but obviously we want to ask them about their day because they are both proud members of the police department,
right.
Starting with this lovely woman. Retired when?
January 3rd.
And how long? And how long and where were you a cop?
26 years. And I was in Rogers Park in 23 Wrigleyville,
right up Halsted and right up Halsted and Addison.
Yes.
Yeah, right
up. And then Rogers Park is Clark and Devon.
And literally just retired recently?
Just retired.
Well, good for you.
So it's my first retirement trip.
And this handsome guy next to you is still in?
He has to work for the insurance, so and he can keep me in the life I'm accustomed to.
There you go.
For you.
Yes. There you go.
Cop where?
Currently assigned to Jefferson Park, northwest side.
Yep, and what's the beat?
The beat, actually, it is, from Cicero Avenue West, Belmont Avenue North, the largest geographic district in the city.
You're sergeant.
I am a sergeant, yes.
All right, so when you're out, are you driving, are you walking? Or
I'm in a beat car with fellow officers. I'm a field supervisor answering calls for service. We're the first ones to ride.
Well, we thank you for what you do and the protection you provide. We said that when we first met you. But it's especially poignant today because of the death of Paul Bauer. And the only people that can truly understand what it's like for a cop to lose another cop are cops. So it's not trite at all, but I'd be curious, how are you guys feeling? Aside from sad.
Yeah,
it was
no.
Like a punch in the gut, and it stopped our day. Just stopped our day. I couldn't gamble. I mean, we were stunned.
Ours, too.
Right.
Ours, too.
I mean, we're in a city, Las Vegas, where, you know, it's bright lights, action, everything going on. It does slow you down and gives you new perspective.
How did you get the call? I'm just curious because you're
right. I'm currently working, right. and there's my fellow officers are out on the beat as this happened, and I'm getting messages from fellow officers. Did you hear this? And friends of mine that didn't know that I was out of town. Are you okay? You know, not knowing who. And
well, you know, the interesting thing to me is the call to be a cop, the drive to be a cop. You guys obviously didn't know each other, I assume, when you got in.
No.
Well, why did you want to be an officer?
Honestly, when I was growing up, the police were at our house all the time. So
not for you.
No, but the detective at the
siblings,
time told me to get us to quit coming here. We're hiring, so I started dispatching for them. So I wanted to be a police officer, but it only in Chicago. For some reason, it was like the only police really are Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
I took the first test in 1991, and I was in the same year.
How about that? And.
And for me, it was just an opportunity. Friends of mine who had fathers, uncles, et cetera, on the job prior, oh, come on, take the test. And I was going to school for something completely different. Took the test, and of all the group, I was the first one to make it on that first test. In years past, several have since made it to the police department and fire department, but I kind of found that it's a calling that can bring many different people in, as it should. You know, I'd never aspired to be a policeman, but I am proud of the work that I've done, proud of the people I work with, and it's just, you know, it does need to be a slice of the community, you know, a little bit of everyone.
Sure.
You know, the the equal representation.
Hey, Steve, can I jump on?
He met his wife.
He met his wife.
Commander Bauer was beloved. Everybody that we have talked to, we were following the news throughout the day back here in our rooms. Beloved, did you work with him for him at any point?
I did not. I did not know Commander Bauer. I never did work for him, but just the same, I'd heard already things from people that I work with.
But you didn't have to
know. He was. No, you didn't.
You didn't have to know because he's one of your family.
Well, and just what he did today, he's still a policeman's policeman. I mean,
he's off duty and he jumps in.
Well, he was on. I don't know if he was on or off duty.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the commander always carries a radio along with him, so he may have been tending to off duty responsibilities.
Yep.
Hears something come out, knowing that it's his officers involved, he steps up.
You're never off duty, I would say.
No.
Even if you're even here, you're never off duty.
Right.
No.
First responders get up every morning and do their job. Mm-hmm. You can't go to work wondering if today is going to be your unlucky day, the worst day.
No.
But you have a job. You know, it's the cliche, right?
Right.
While we're running out, you're running in. So after years of doing it, I don't know about you, but I've gotten a little older. And as you get a little older, you develop a more keen appreciation for life. Do you ever stop back and think how lucky you are, or if you do that, it's time to get out?
I think of how lucky I am just about every day, because there are situations that you don't know what's going to happen, you know, what's on that next call. I work in Jefferson Park, where the numbers aren't quite what they are in Englewood and Roseland and whatnot, but I have the same training as other beat officers out on the street, and I carry the full complement of equipment in the way of the carbine rifles, ballistic shields, etc. People, even some officers, what are you taking that out for out in the 16th District, the quiet part of town? I said, you just don't know when or where something's going
to
happen.
No,
you have to. You don't. You really don't.
And funeral arrangements are pending, of course, and we'll bring those to you as we become aware of the arrangements and whatnot, too. But what we were remarking on, Steve and myself, the procession, how all of the men and women from the department come together and lead the procession. It's so moving. You know, people are stopping on the side of the road off Congress to just roll down their windows and
seeing it on video out here on the internet. It was moving just the same, but chilling as well. I mean,
it's incredible.
The numbers. I mean, I believe it's seven officers in the last 8 days nationwide.
Too many.
And as I said in messages to you earlier, not to discount the violent crimes against people in general. Where does it stop?
Where does it stop? Well, you know, look, it can turn into a whole political discussion, right?
Right.
But in Chicago specifically, I think the one thing we know, if somebody's convicted of a gun crime, they need to stay in jail.
Right. Right.
And they don't want them to get out of jail.
Absolutely.
And they don't. And that has to change. Now, in the middle of all of this, there's no way to transition to the fact that up until today, you're having a fabulous time.
Right.
We were.
I know you've seen a lot of things, run around. What have you done?
Typical Vegas experiences, you know.
Fantastic dinner last night.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
It was actually the steak and seafood restaurant in the Mandalay Bay. Rick Morin, I believe, is the name.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So
absolutely
good.
Fantastic. Met the waitstaff, picked up on us being from Chicago, so they drafted other Chicago area waitstaff. You go wait on the Chicago crew over there. So, but very personable. I mean, the service was phenomenal. It's what you want.
Well, and I'm glad you had a great time because you guys are true Blackhawk nuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
And part of what won the contest we talked about on the show is your fishing boat.
Yes, sir.
Just painted about astern with Hawks logos.
That's
and
it.
Hawk
I mean,
stuff.
There's friends of mine that have been texting me ever since the announcement last Monday on the show. You know, when's it going to hit the water? When are we going out? When are we going fishing?
Right.
They want to go.
Right.
So,
and I found out about that boat on Facebook.
Is that right?
Really?
It was a surprise.
Yes.
Get out.
One of his friends posted it, and I was at home, and I saw
that's
his boat.
That's fantastic.
Like, yeah.
You got some splaining to do.
Hey, honey, you got something you want to tell me? That is tremendous.
Can I throw a quick plug in for the guys that helped me out on that?
Of course.
Yeah. Extreme Graphics out in Lombard, Illinois.
Sure.
Yes. No,
the official
fantastic.
Graphics of the Steve Cochran Show. Extreme Graphics in Lombard.
So, no, they're fantastic people. I did a lot of the work on my own. I went in with an idea of what I'd wanted, my own Photoshop cut and paste, and they went in and refined it all, and it came out looking like it does now.
And we got it all over social, right? Including WGNRadio.com, obviously.
And there's other teams on there with the Blackhawks, Tomahawks, X out.
The teams the Hawks eliminated in the last several postseasons,
Well, we're open for a win tonight. I'm going to let you guys go to your seats, but I want to get Justin in here before you go. Justin, you have any questions?
Yeah, I just, today, of course, was a tough day to be a police officer because of what happened, but what I also noticed, not just with the way that the procession went through downtown, but through social media and other places, text here on the line, a tremendous amount of support and outpouring for police officers. And as you know, we go through the routine and the mundane, and the stories in the media aren't necessarily reflective of how the community feels. But when something like this happens, do you recognize how much the Chicago community comes together to support police officers?
Sadly, it does peak at times like this. You know, officers aren't, they'll tell you, they're not out there standing there looking for recognition. You know, we just want to go out and do our job. And if we can go on and just have people nod their head and smile and say, hey, even amongst themselves, you did a good job, that's what we want. You know, events like today, being that they're very grave and all, it's just, these are days that our emotions are going to come out.
Right.
Sure. And you got to remember, though, too, that, you know, next Friday or last Thursday, we also are dealing with various emotions. Today are the emotions of the police family. You know, we're not robots out here like everyone kind of wants to program us to be.
Right.
You know, so it's a very emotional job day in and day out.
And
so
I've said it a million times. People don't understand what you guys put up with on a day-to-day basis, the things you don't act on, the things that in a normal course of a couple of guys standing at a bar would turn into an ugly fight,
right,
the horrible things that are said to you every time. I would just leave it at this. For every beat cop, for every patrolman on the highway, don't lie to a cop. If a cop stops you and says, do you know why I pulled you over? Say, yeah, I'm an idiot. I was speeding.
Yeah.
Because you guys have heard every story, whether it's a kid on the corner or a guy in a car going too fast.
And just
don't lie to a cop.
And to add to that, too, say thank you. Because I notice more than ever, whatever we cover, the Women's March, parades,
sure,
anything, I notice more people saying thank you. So just say thank you.
Just the same as being out here in Vegas. We stay at the Mandalay Bay. I don't know how many times I said thank you to people at work out here, security and police officers, after what happened here.
Yeah, can you imagine?
You did that right.
Even the personnel in the lobby at that hotel, you just don't know the depth of the impact
drivers here that were
of something like that. And you just don't know when or where it's going
to
happen. How close did that come to happening in Chicago at Lollapalooza?
Yeah,
you know?
We don't know. We don't know.
Very scary. So,
well, God bless you.
Chicago
both
can be a strong community just the same, and
let's focus on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks,
and
Carl.
I know the police community will take care of the Bauer family because that's part of the family, extended family tradition.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys
for
being here.
I'm
thrilled that you guys won. Now go have a good time and get a win, for crying out loud.
Yes, we'll do our best.
We're bringing a win.
You guys aren't off the hook. Get a win. We'll come back, Justin, one more segment before
The pregame with Chris Bowden. Steve Cochran, Andre Darlis out at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas before the Hawks take on the Golden Knights. Stay with us. Wrapping up the pregame with Steve Cochran and Andre Darlis, who are live at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas for the Hawks Golden Knights tonight. You guys, I have a couple of questions before we wrap up.
Yeah, and Troy Murray just came in, so we'll get a minute with Troy before he actually goes to work.
So before we get to Troy and start talking Hawks, you guys are out there with Stephanie Menendez and Mary, of course.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Mary Samberg Boyle. And thank you, the legend, Mr. Z, getting it done again from the famous Zarang family.
Who's the biggest? I mean, it's in Las Vegas, of course. So who's the biggest troublemaker? Who's not showing up on time? Who's not supposed to be there? You know, supposed to be at breakfast with the team?
I just say one thing? Cochran was the first one to dinner last night, and you were the first one to
get
your
room. Second one at the airport.
Second at the airport. I mean, you're like...
He's on it.
You're on everything.
Vegas changed me.
Vegas did change you, apparently, even though you lost money, video poker?
A lot, actually. Troy Murray's here, and I love Troy, but he doesn't love me back.
I do.
And it's great to see you, buddy.
Thanks, sir. I'm glad you guys are here.
We're happy to be here.
And I don't know about you, but I saw about one Knights sweater, and I saw Hawks jerseys and the Indian head on every corner. Mm-hmm. So there's a good Chicago contingent out here.
Yeah, I just got stuck trying to get back up here, and there's tons of Blackhawk fans in the corridors. And today I took a little stroll down the strip, and all kinds of Blackhawk fans. So the support, probably 85% people in the building yesterday in Arizona. Hawks fans. Great contingents of people coming out here.
I got to ask, was there booing last night? I'm talking about not when you came in.
Zarang, I'm losing you here a little bit.
Right.
What was that question?
You know, because
it was actually funny because the home team was winning and there was
booing.
a good steady course of booing at certain times in the game, and that was the Blackhawks right. fans.
So here's the thing that I marvel at, and this isn't sucking up because you know me, I don't suck up, but you guys still have to call the game. You got to call the game, you got to make it exciting. When you are the front line of disappointment and how the guys are playing and not seeing what you know they're capable of, has it been a bigger challenge?
It's disappointing, but at the same time, I think that first of all, John does a fantastic job of calling the game. And you know, for me, my responsibility and my credibility as a former player is to kind of call it like it is. If they're not playing well, I have to acknowledge that and address it in the right manner. I'm not saying anything that anybody who's not watching or listening isn't seeing themselves. I mean, last night I had to criticize the goaltending. It wasn't good last night. It's been great for a long time. It's been in a position.
But that's the job. Tell the truth.
So it has been frustrating. And obviously, I and John and I are around the team on a regular basis. We see the frustration on the players.
There's no question.
And it's tough on them. And they haven't been in this position. The older guys, the core group of guys, and it's been a tough struggle for them to try and figure out how they turn things around. But
it's Vegas, and we'll feel lucky. And
this could be the night, John Weideman. This could be the night. No better time than now.
The way that this league is that you can lose to the team with the fewest points in the Western Conference,
and then beat the
best team. You're going to beat the team with the most points in the Western Conference.
That's what I like to hear.
I got 15 seconds. I just wanted to tell you that a guy that's maybe the best on television ever, Doc Emrick, said to my face on my show on our air, you are his favorite play-by-play guy.
Oh, that's awesome. Really kind of Doc.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, I think he's the best in TV. So, we'll just return it right back.
So there you go.
That's really great to hear. Thank you, Doc, if you're listening.
You
that's
are
awesome.
Too.
And he said, Troy's not bad.
and Troy works with John.
I know you guys got to go. We'll get the pregame here, Justin, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Thank you, Justin, for letting us take over.
Yeah, no problem. This was fun tonight. Chris Bowden coming up next here with the pregame for the Hawks and, of course, the Golden Knights from Las Vegas.